ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज, चैप्टर नंबर 17, द डिविजन्स ऑफ फेथ, वर्स 4। ययन्ते सात्विकान् देवा यक्षराक्षास्मि राजसः प्रेतान् भूतगणांश्चन्ये यजन्ते तामसा जनः। यजन्त लिशन परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति विदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। मेन इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस वर्शिप द डेमिगॉड्स, दोज इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन वर्शिप द डीमंस, and those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Purport. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead describes different kinds of worshippers according to their external activities. According to scriptural injunction, only Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable. But those who are not very conversant with or faithful to the scriptural injunctions worship different objects according to their specific situations in the mode of material nature. Those who are situated in goodness generally worship the demigods. The demigods include Brahma, Shiva and others such as Indra, Chandra and the sun god. There are various demigods. Those in goodness worship a particular demigod for a particular purpose. Similarly, those who are in the mode of passion worship the demons. We recall that during the Second World War, a man in Calcutta worshipped Hitler, because thanks to that war, he had amassed a large amount of wealth by dealing in the black market. Similarly, those in the modes of passion and ignorance generally select a powerful man to be God. They think that anyone can be worshipped as God and that the same results will be obtained. Now, it is clearly described here that those who are in the mode of passion worship and create such gods, and those in the mode of ignorance in darkness worship dead spirits. Sometimes people worship at the tomb of some dead men. Sexual service is also considered to be in the mode of darkness. Similarly, in remote villages in India, there are worshippers of ghosts. We have seen that in India, the lower class people sometimes go to the forest, and if they have knowledge that a ghost lives in a tree, they worship that tree and offer sacrifices. These different kinds of worships are not actually God worship. God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated in the pure goodness. The Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, it is said, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. When a man is situated in pure goodness, he worships Vasudev. The purpose is that those who are completely purified of material modes of nature and who are transcendentally situated can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonalists are supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness, and they worship 5 kinds of demigods. They worship the impersonal Vishnu form in the material world, which is known as philosophized Vishnu. Vishnu is the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the impersonalists, because they do not ultimately believe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imagine that the Vishnu form is just another aspect of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, they imagine that Lord Brahma is the impersonal form in the material mode of passion. Thus, they sometimes describe 5 kinds of gods that are worshipable, but because they think that the actual truth is impersonal Brahman, they dispose of all worshipable objects at the ultimate end. In conclusion, the different qualities of the material modes of nature can be purified through association with persons who are of transcendental nature. So, I welcome first of all everyone for the evening Bhagavad Gita class, and I would like to seek the blessings of devotees here so that I can speak for my purification. Let us suppose that everyone over here present is invited for a big feast in Govinda's, and we are served more than 200 dishes which are prepared, which belong to different corners of the country. And when we go in a buffet lane and try to pick up our plate, and we'll try to select dishes according to our own taste buds. We'll not eat anything whatever is there on the table. Whatever we like, we'll take it and then we'll enjoy it. Because we have a particular kind of inclination towards that dish or item. Similarly, this material nature is composed of three modes: mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And people who have, from the previous lifetimes, have certain inclinations. And according to that, in this particular life, they are inclined to a particular kind of a faith. Say, suppose goodness, passion or ignorance. So Prabhupada emphasizes this point of faith in the previous verses also. So first would I like to define the term faith. In the 9.3 purport of Bhagavad Gita itself, Prabhupada writes that faith is a complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. And also expands this. After reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt this service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy, that is faith. Now, when we were in the spiritual world, we all came down to this material world due to certain desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, the spiritual world is like a fire. It's an analogy given by Prabhupada in his lectures that the spiritual world is like a fire, and all the parts and parcels, the living entities, are the minute sparks. So, when the spark fell from the spiritual world onto the material world, there are three things which can be happening. This spark can fall on dry grass. The grass is dry, and when the spark falls on it, and the grass ignites. That is referred to as mode of goodness. Then the other case may be that the spark may fall on the ground and it may get extinguished. So that is referred to as mode of passion. And in third case, that spark may fall on the water. And when it falls in the water, the fire, identity of the fire in that spark is completely finished. So, according to the impressions we had in our previous lifetimes, and according to our desires, we attain a certain kind of faith and we come into a particular kind of a body under one species. So, with this introduction, I would like to discuss about the qualities of the three modes, which will make us clearly understand that how one in a particular mode acts in a particular direction. Suppose for one who is in mode of goodness, he is purer than others, he is illuminating, and this mode frees one from all sinful reactions. Consider conditions one by a sense of happiness and knowledge. And after death, one in this mode attains to pure higher planets. The result of pious actions is pure. So these are few of the qualities of the mode of goodness. One in mode of passion has unlimited desires and longings. He is bound to material fruitive actions. There is intense endeavor, hankering, and after death, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities, that is in the earthly planet. And it results in misery and greed. Whereas in the darkness, that is ignorance, delusion arises, madness, indolence, sleep, causes of bondage. It covers the complete knowledge. It creates inertia and darkness. And after death, one is born in animal kingdom, that is in the hellish worlds. Result of such actions is foolishness, madness and illusion. So these are few of the qualities which are mentioned in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita here. Also, in the Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Lord Kapil Dev is speaking to Mother Devahuti about people who take to worship belonging to a particular mode. I'll just read out the translation. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent and angry and who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of darkness, that is ignorance. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material and enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. And finally, when a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inabilities of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Now, with this brief introduction about the various modes, we would like to see that for what reasons people take to worship of something. Like in the aborigines of Africa and even in India also, those who live in the mountain and forest side, we could see and find out that they worship the natural aspects, such as some tree or some mountain, some sky, sun, moon, water, fire, such things. So because they fear such things, it's a natural power, so it can lead to some destruction. So, and with some experiences in their previous part of their life, they come to the conclusion that they need to worship that. So one who worships in the due to the cause of fear, that is in the mode of ignorance. And those who worship for some desires, fulfillment of some desires, it's in the mode of passion. And those who worship due to some duty that one has to do it, that is in the mode of goodness. And one, when does some worship in the mood of love, that is pure goodness or Shuddha Sattva. Now, in this translation, Lord Krishna is saying that one who in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. So we'll consider part by part each and every item, and then we'll see how we can discuss about that. There is a pastime of Srila Prabhupada in Kobe, Japan. Once one happened, Prabhupada had a conversation with an impersonalist over there. And Prabhupada asked that impersonalist to speak. And when he spoke about the Panchopasana. Panchopasana concept has been defined by the impersonalist as there are five demigods whom they worship, and their motive is that you can worship them, and once you attain to impersonal Brahman, you can just ignore them or you can neglect them, discard them even. So the demigods whom they refer to, they have to be worshipped, are the sun god. One who desires for religiosity, he should worship a sun god. One who desires wealth should worship Ganesha. One who is craving for carnal pleasures, for sense gratification, they could worship Kali or Durga. One who is striving for liberation should worship Shiva. And finally, one who has some material motives, they should worship Vishnu. They accept undifferentiated Brahman as supreme and reject the supremacy of Lord Krishna. This is their tendency. They'll accept these five demigods, they will worship in an impersonal feature, and once they attain impersonal Brahman, their concept is to reject them. There is no existence of such gods. Whereas the Vaishnava philosophy speaks that it's a gradual step of ascending order. Like suppose we have to worship, many people all around in India, at least we see that people are engaged in some or the other worship, in some kind or other faith. And this kind of worship, why it is required? Someone may ask question. Because the essence of Vedas is to worship Krishna. Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. So Krishna says that the essence of Vedas is to know me, because I am the end of knowledge, wisdom. So if one has to worship Krishna directly, then why one has to encounter all such demigods? And we also know that there are 33 crore demigods. And to specifically support that in our lifetime of at least 60 years, on an average if you take it, it's impossible for anyone to satisfy all the demigods. I made certain calculations. If a person worships 6 hours a day, because 8 hours he will be sleeping and rest of the time he will be working. So if he engages 6 hours a day for worshipping, it will take him 1,09,500 years. 1,09,500 demigods in that lifetime to worship. So if he struggles for the rest, whole of his life also, still it is not possible for him to worship all the demigods. And even each demigod has a specific standard of worship. So that takes a particular period of time and arrangements to be made, which is not possible in this age of Kali, because we don't have certain resources for certain worship. So understanding this basic principle that we cannot satisfy all the demigods according to these specific standards and we cannot attain the desired results, it is better to come to the root that one has to understand to worship Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just by worshipping Krishna, one can satisfy all the demigods, because all the demigods are parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And they are working under His direction to take care of certain responsibilities in the universal creation. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Now we'll see certain examples from Shastra how one engages in different kinds of demigod worship. We all know that we worship Indra for rains, timely rains. We worship Chandra for vegetation. We worship Ganesha for removal of obstacles and wealth. We worship Mother Saraswati for sake of knowledge. And there are certain rituals in different states and different traditions which they perform. Like in Bengal and certain parts of Orissa, they worship a goddess form of the snake god called Mansa Puja. And this they do so that they can be saved from the harm of snakes. In certain parts of North India, we have Chhat, which is performed for Lord Surya. for the well-being of the family members, specifically husband and children. So, demigod worship is only to support our tendencies so that we can someday or other reach to the conclusion that we have to worship the Supreme Lord. Now we'll see that one worships in the mode of passion. We have examples from Shastra that Hiranyakashipu, he was engaged in worshipping Lord Brahma so that he could attain immortality, that he will never die. And he got many benedictions that he will not die in the daytime, nor in the noon, nor in the night time, nor inside, nor outside, with no weapons. Still, his benedictions were all befooled and he was killed by the Supreme Lord. Kamsa, in his kingdom, wanted all his citizens to worship him. King Vena, in the fourth canto it comes, that he, when there was an argument that whom to be worshipped, he told the Brahmanas in the kingdom that, since I am taking care of everything in this kingdom, so I should be worshipped as God. And even in the purport of the Prabhupada has mentioned that Hitler was worshipped by a person who made a lot of money through black marketing during that time. And even in CIS nations, we see that KGB enforced the people to worship Lenin, because Lenin and the government was providing bread to them. So there was no other option for them to get bread, that is, to survive. And they were always telling them that your God will not come and provide you with bread. Just call your God, and if he provides you with bread, we'll see. And nothing as such happened. So forcefully they made people worship Lenin in that way. In India also, we have many superstars of the film industry being worshipped, same as God. And we also have the conception of self-concocted, self-made gods. Even in Mumbai we have Rath Yatras also for them. So this conception of self-made God is so bogus that anyone who has some caliber to attract people makes himself God. And that is destroying the faith of people in general and in mass, the faith for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And we can see in examples of Ravana. Ravana actually wanted to conquer Mount Kailash. And he went, and with his power he was trying to move the Kailash mountains. But the Lord Shiva, who was sitting with Mother Parvati there, he just forced his toe and he was pressed inside. Then Ravana recognized the power of Lord Shiva, and then he started to worship him. In Ramayana, the contrast comes that Ravana was doing a lot of austerities and penances to worship Lord Shiva, to the extent that he removed his intestines from the stomach and he was playing veena with that, so that he could call for the attention of Lord Shiva to receive benedictions. And finally, Lord Shiva, being compassionate of him, so that, because if he kills his body, destroys his body, then the gradual process of liberation which is awaited will be stopped. And so with a lot of compassion, Lord Shiva appears and he benedicts him. Similarly, one more example comes in Krishna book, in Bhagavatam 10th canto, of Vrikrasura. Vrikrasura was a demon professionally, and he wanted to, he had a desire that on whoever he puts the hand, his head should be cut into, break into pieces and he should die. That was his desire. He wants to become so powerful because his background was of sinful activities. So Narad Muni appears to him and Narad Muni tells him that if you want easily benedictions, then you should worship Lord Shiva. And he worships Lord Shiva, and it's written in the Krishna book that any oblation which has to be offered to the demigods, it has to be done through fire. So whatever we want to offer, it has to be offered in fire, and through fire the demigods receive it. So Vrikrasura was cutting the flesh of his body and was putting into the fire. And he was about to cut his head because Lord Shiva did not appear before him. Just before he could cut his head, Lord Shiva appeared and he told him to stop that. Because same factor, he was compassionate of him on his body, that it could, if it is destroyed, it will be it will not get liberation from the Supreme Lord. And then Lord Shiva blessed him. Vrikrasura felt that now I have this benediction, so let me try it on Lord Shiva himself. And when Lord Shiva saw this, he started running and Vrikrasura was chasing him. Lord Shiva ran to different planetary systems and then finally he went to Vaikuntha and he informed Lord Vishnu about this. Lord Vishnu, in the form of Brahmachari, in saffron robes, he appears over there and he consoles the demon that you are very tired and you should take care of your body. Basically, demons are in the bodily conception of life. So when they are said to be conscious of their body, they will take proper care about it. So then Lord Vishnu told him that you should take a proper rest and I would like to massage your feet. Then also Lord Vishnu says that, okay, you believe in the benedictions of Lord Shiva, I don't have any regard to it. So if you want to test it, you can just check it out on yourself. And by this trick, Lord Vishnu made him put the hand on his own head and he was destroyed to death. And like this, Lord Shiva was saved. So we see from these examples that how worship of demigods, but not in proper consciousness, leads to destruction. Whereas one who worships these demigods in a proper consciousness, although they may be having some fruitive desires to be fulfilled, but still they are in that ladder where they can go ahead and one day attain to the love of Godhead. And those who are in the mode of ignorance worship the ghosts and the spirits. So, a few examples of Srila Prabhupada regarding this Juhu land issue. There was a neighbor called Mr. Thambe, and who was very much envious of the devotees over there, and he, with his black magic power, wanted to attack Prabhupada. And the concept of black magic is as such that if that action is not happening on the victim, it will reverse back and it will come to you. So that person wanted to destroy Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was a pure devotee of the Lord and he was protected always by Krishna. So the powers of black magic could not affect him in any way. And they reversed back to him, and one day during the Mangal Arati, people, devotees were hearing some loud shouting going on, When they went out, they saw that the same person was burning on fire. And then later it was disclosed that this person, he personally went into the kitchen, put out some oil, and he started to lit him. Whereas he did not know that he was intentionally doing it. But the power of black magic was acting on him, so his mind was completely upset and he performed that act and he was destroyed ultimately. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. When Bhakti Vinod Thakur was serving as magistrate in a village, there was a black magician who was influencing the senior members of the village, well-known members of the village, and they were very much disturbed by that, and they reported to the government. And the British government did not want to involve directly into it because it may create some kind of litigations or problems. So they informed Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that you arrest him. And then only the problem can be solved. And they arrested and put him in jail. But from there also he was making black magic on Bhakti Vinod Thakur. The whole family was diseased. Even Bhakti Vinod Thakur went into verge of death. But still, he kept absorbing himself in Krishna consciousness. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur informed the jailer that his powers of black magic are in his hair. So, shave off his head and then his powers will be gone. And they did it. And the whole family again regained their health and proper consciousness. Even I had certain experiences in my neighborhood where such problems have occurred. My aunt used to narrate me this story that once there was a neighbor who was working at a very recognizable post, and he was supposed to get some promotion. So the opponent, the other team member, he wanted to pull his leg down. So he reported to some black magician and then they acted on him. And this person slowly for few months became degraded in his health, his consciousness. And then finally they went to counteractor who counteracts all these things. So that person said that I'll come to your place and I'll check out. And then he checks out that half a mile from his house he spots out one position and he says that keep digging from here. And they started digging from the spot, and in the direction there is a hole inside, keep going in that way. And they started digging, and then finally the hole which was underground, it led to the bedroom of that person. And then it was, and he told the counteractor, he told that there are two chickens which were sent through this lane underground, and these chickens are well-known hen, well-grown hen, because they have grabbed the energy from that person. That is why his health was degrading. And finally when they dig the room and the ground, they saw there were well-grown hen. And after the hen were destroyed, that person regained his health and consciousness. So even today, we can find the same context in certain places. Bengal was very much famous for that, and the reason is that when the Britishers came to rule as East India Company, they sinked many boatfuls of black magicians in the Ganges so that they can get rid of them. So from these aspects, we could make out that in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, nor in the mode of goodness, one can attain to the spiritual platform. Srila Prabhupada says that the necessity to attain to the mode of goodness is to make oneself qualified to advance in spiritual life. If one wants to advance in spiritual life, at least one should situate himself in mode of goodness. From there, he could raise to the platform of pure goodness, and then he can transcend the modes and be situated in transcendence. And in the purport, it is specified that God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated in pure goodness. So we have to understand that we may be, until unless we have some knowledge about the demigod worship and other aspects of worship in different modes, and once we have achieved that knowledge, one should understand that what is the goal of life, and one should dovetail all his activities into it. And in the conclusion of the purport, Prabhupada emphasizes that one can purify himself through the association with the persons who are of transcendental nature. Now we can see live examples how the condition was hippies in the US when Prabhupada went there. But only through the association of Prabhupada, they all got purified. And they also are achieving the goal of life, that is going back to Godhead. So we have to understand one thing is that demigods are the representatives of the Supreme Lord, and one can take their shelter to attain to higher grades, but one has to ultimately get down at the root, that is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Like we always see, there is an example spoken of a tree with many branches, but we do not water the branches, twigs, flowers or buds, but we directly worship and water the root of the tree so as to help the tree grow. So there is a similar verse which speaks this in Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto. Yatha taror moola nishechana tripyanti tatskandha bhujo pakshai pranopaharcha yathendriyanam tatheiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and other living entities. If for the case, we are thinking that we need to satisfy some demigod or he may be angry, still by worshipping Krishna, and according to this translation from Bhagavatam, it is proved that we need not worry about that. I would like to give an example in my personal life that when I started to grow, in my family also we were engaged in different kinds of worship, Lord Ram, Lord Hanuman, Devi and all. And I was also involved in performing Navratri Vrat for many years. in my personal altar, I used to have 4 or 5 demigods. Ganesh ji, Hanuman ji, Kali, Durga. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, the very first day, when I came to this temple, I heard Harinam and I was convinced that this is the best process I was looking for. But there was a fear in my mind that how that I could give up all those rituals which I was performing for many number of years. I was having a fear that they will be, those demigods will be also angry over me and they may not help me out in my career and my future prospects. Then I consulted the authorities and then I was told that you can remove everyone by speaking to them that now Krishna is there in my life, so I hope so that you'll be also happy. And one day in the morning, I was planning to remove all those photographs from my altar. And it was a very painstaking experience for me because I was waiting for my job interview and nothing was happening as such. And with that, if I remove all those demigods and then place Krishna, and if nothing happens, then my career will be spoiled. That was my fear. But ultimately, when I removed them and I placed Krishna on the altar, Radha Gopinath ji, within 2 days I received the call from the company. I was set to go for training and I have to join the ship. So with that minute benediction what I received from Radha Gopinath, my firmness in my determination to give up demigod worship and take to Krishna consciousness, it increased a lot. There is a verse in the second canto which says that one should give up all these kinds of desires. It says that akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaridhi tivrena bhakti yogena yunyate purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desires without any material desire or desiring liberation, must by any means worship the supreme whole, the supreme personality of Godhead. We may have some desires, we may not have some desires, we may be desiring for liberation. Anything can happen because we are all conditioned souls. But if we have that firm faith that Krishna will take care of everything, then one day we'll achieve the goal, perfection of goal of life, that is to go back home, back to Godhead. And the formula here Prabhupada mentions is of association of a transcendental personality, one who is transcendent the modes. So there is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says that sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. For this, there is a beautiful example of Narad Muni. It says, this verse says that according to Shastras, association of devotees can only help one to get all kinds of perfections of life. Even for a fraction of a second, one gets the association of pure souls, his life is perfected. Narad Muni, in his previous life, he was the son of a servant, maid servant. And his mother happened to serve the Bhakti Vedantis. And there, he got the remnants of the Bhakti Vedantis. By that fraction of, it's not a fraction, but for a few days they were there. So, but that experience, what he got, with the association of pure souls, that transformed his life completely. And in the next life, he took birth from the, took birth as son of Lord Brahma. And we know that how Narad Muni is preaching all over the world, all over the creation, spreading the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Prabhupada also did it. So now we can think that, okay, we need association of devotees and we have to follow the process also. So how it is possible? We need some organization, some arrangement where we can come and fix ourselves. So Prabhupada has gifted that also to us. The whole world he has given. He has made a home where the whole world can fit it, fit into it. Prabhupada has given the process also. Prabhupada says, chant and be happy. So our process is chanting, dancing, feasting and becoming happy. But we may also consider that what kind of a mood or attitude one has to develop to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a beautiful prayer from Mukundmala Stotra by King Kulashekar. He says that, Nasta dharme na vasunichaye na eva kamopabhoge yad bhavyam tad bhavatu bhagwan purva karmanurupam yetat prartam mahubhumadam janma janmantarepi tvatpadamboruhayugata nishchala bhaktirastu. He says that, O my Lord, I have no attachment for religiosity or for accumulating wealth or for sense gratification. Let these come as they are inevitably must in accordance with my past deeds. But I do pray for this most cherished boon, birth after birth. Let me render unflinching devotional service unto your lotus feet. In one more text, he says that Mukundamurdhya pranipatya yache bhavantamekantam yantamartham avismritistava charanaravinde bhave bhave meastu bhavat prasadat. He prays that, O my Lord, please bless me that I could never forget you, even for a moment. And always bless me with the remembrance of your lotus feet so that I could take shelter at your lotus feet and always be engaged in devotional service. So that is the mood of a pure soul who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to conclude with, in the beginning, we spoke about what is faith and how people are engaged in different kinds of faith. And then we saw the qualities and characteristics of one who has been engaged in certain kind of faith. Then we saw some analogies from Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And then we saw certain quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam in the same lines, that how people in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, how they behave, what are their qualities, what are their consciousness. And then we spoke about the Panchopasana, which is being spoken by impersonalists. We saw Srila Prabhupada's example at Japan. And then we saw how various demigods are worshipped for different boons, and then how the consciousness of one who has taken shelter of certain demigod matters, whether it is for self or whether it is for destruction of others. And then we saw many examples, one who is worshipping the demons in the mode of passion and one who is worshipping the dead spirits, the ghosts, the black magic concept we saw. And then finally we saw that how God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated, and necessity of one to attain to the mode of goodness, because that is the only platform from where one can make an advancement in spiritual life. And then we understood that how What is the constitutional position of demigods in the total creation? And we saw how the conclusion of purport is emphasized as taking association with persons who are of transcendental nature. We saw certain quotes. Then finally we concluded with prayers of a pure devotee who always seeks for the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So with this, I would end here. Thank you very much for tolerating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.